other party was also at fault, you know. Right? But yeah, we say taliye khas se nahi basti hai, whatever, you know. But that is not for us to do in one sense. For us, for Mahaparikshit doesn't find any fault with the Brahmana and say the whole fault is mine actually. Right? So that is the state of so Prabhupada says the pious king regretted his accidental improper treatment of the powerful Brahmana who was faultless. Such repentance is natural for a good man like the king, and such repentance delivers the devotee from all kind of sins accidentally committed. The devotees are naturally faultless. Accidental sins committed by a devotee are sincerely regretted, and by the grace of the Lord, all sins unwillingly committed by a devotee are burnt in the fire of repentance. Okay, so we do not say that Parikshit Maharaj committed no mistake in one sense. That is the transcendental perspective, but for his curse. He had accepted the curse. He didn't want it to counteract. So therefore he thought, I will not go to the sage. He just accepted, didn't want to marry the sage, and just continued on his way to the palace. Go to text 5. Atho vihaye mamamum chalokam vimarshito hetaya purastat krishnangri sevam madhimanyamana upavishat prayam amartinadyam.
Parikshit sat down firmly on the banks of Ganges to concentrate his mind in Krishna consciousness, rejecting all other practices of self-realization. Because transcendental loving service to Krishna is the greatest achievement, superseding all other methods.
Okay, so what is Maharaj Parikshit's response now? Atho vihai emam amum cha lokam. He immediately gave up all aspirations, ambitions in this world and the next. Amum cha lokam. Atho vihaya imam and amum. In this world and the next world. Right? He gave all his short-term, long-term goals, you know, as people say, write your short-term goals, long-term goals, scratch them all off. Right? No, give up all them off. Right? And then vimarshito hetayaya, they are like useless, right? It's considered all of these material aspirations, short-term, long-term, in this world, in the next world. From the perspective of the pastime, Parikshit Maharaj did committed an accidental mistake, as Prabhupada is saying. But important thing is, by his repentance, he'll be free from all sins, right? Actually, from another perspective, there is no sin because it was the will of the Lord, but in making a journal lesson, if a devotee by chance commits accidental sin, the fire of repentance burns the reactions of that sin. Right? So that is an important point. So another thing we should understand is that a person, if he has committed a mistake, if a person accepts and he admits his mistake, that is a sign of greatness. Actually, it requires a lot of big heart and magnanimous heart to accept one mistake. It's very difficult, right, to accept one mistake. But a person who can, first of all, it's very difficult to accept one mistake, and it's even more difficult to unconditionally accept one mistake, right? Even if we accept one mistake, then we say, but, 5 buts at least, you know. But the time was not right, you know, the way he said was not right, my mood was not right, today morning breakfast was not good, you know, so it's natural that I am not in good mood. Right? So many things may But you know, so to unconditionally accept one mistake is very difficult, which Parikshit Maharaj does over here. That is a sign of his greatness actually, right? No ordinary person can accept one mistake, right? Not even extraordinary people can accept their mistake like this. So Maharaj Parikshit, therefore, his quality of being a great Vaishnava is shown. Actually, it increases the person's greatness, one who can accept his mistake. It doesn't minimize. A person who accepts that I have committed a mistake, his position is not minimized. His position, he becomes actually even greater. It increases the greatness of a person who can accept mistake, actually. So therefore, one should not hesitate. If someone points out a mistake, any person, even a new person, or anyone, right? We should accept the mistake immediately. Right? So that is a sign of a greatness of a devotee, like which Maharaj Parikshit is exemplifying over here. Text 2. Dhruvam tato me kritadeva helanan. Nurattayam vyasanam nati dirgan. Tadastu kamam yaga nishkritayame. Yatana kuryam punareva madha.
King Parikshit thought, due to my neglecting the injunctions of the Supreme Lord, I must certainly expect some difficulty to overcome in the near future. I now desire without reservation that the calamity come now, for in this way I may be freed of the sinful action and not commit such an offense again.
Okay, so he says, actually, Dhruvam tato me krita deva helanad. I have offended the Supreme Lord. How has he offended the Supreme Lord? Because the Brahmanas are very dear to the Lord. He is Brahmanya Devaya. So he's saying, I have offended the Supreme Lord by offending the Brahmana. Therefore, Durutyam Vyasanam Nati Dirghat. I must expect some calamity in the very near future, na ati dirga, some calamity will surely befall upon me because I have committed a grave offense. Tadastu kamam hiyag nishkritaya me yatha nakuryam. Very, very exalted consciousness Maharaj Parikshit has. Another thing is, Prabhupada points out, he says, let the calamity fall upon me, tadastu kamam yaganishkritaya me. He usually, if a person commits an offense, even the person's, his family members and other community members, they also get implicated in an offense. Right? So, Parikshit Maharaj knows that and he desires that the calamity fall upon him and not his family members. Let he be punished for his offense and not his family members may not be implicated. That Prabhupada points out. Prabhupada says over here in the fifth line of the purport, sixth line, he therefore desired the imminent calamity to fall on him and not on his family members. A person's personal misconduct affects all his family members. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit desired the calamity to fall on him alone, right, which is indicated, yathana kuryam punareva madha. That means directly, let the calamity fall upon me. By suffering personally, he would be restrained from future sins and at the same time the sin which he had committed would be counteracted so that his descendants would not suffer. This is the way a responsible devotee thinks. Right? So Prabhupada, this is an important line. Every responsible person should not fear the punishment, rather he should desire purification. By the whichever way the Lord wants to purify a devotee, and so that others who are related to him may not suffer also. Right? Text 3. Adyeva rajyam balam riddha kosham. Prakopiti, as you are all reciting, punascha bhuyad bhagavate nante, punascha bhuyad, they would have come back again. Maharaj has never demanded that I must go back home, back to Godhead. A devotee should not demand that. A devotee should not consider that this is my right, you know. I have, you know, done so much of chanting, fasted so many ekadashis, right, or whatever, that now I can, this has become my rightful claim, right? So Parikshit Maharaj doesn't demand, but he always desired. That desire is a very noble desire. That desire should be cultivated. The whole Bhagavatam describes how Dhruva Maharaj, the Vaikuntha Viman came, Ajamil, Vaikuntha Viman came, Vaikuntha Vasis came, right? The desire of Ritrasura, so many pastimes that they are showing very intense desire of devotees to return to the association of Krishna. So devotees should desire to go back to Godhead, to serve the Lord. This material world is not meant for service of the Lord. This material world is not a fit place to serve. Right? Those who have a pure desire to serve, the fit place is this, the spiritual world, the Vaikuntha. Right? That is the place created to facilitate service. Right? So therefore, every devotee should desire to go back to Godhead and increase one's service. That place is not meant for service actually. Right? This place, material world, is a place for rebellious people. There are so many impediments to serve the Lord. Right? The body places so many impediments, the circumstances, the material world, so many impediments. So every devotee should desire to return. And Parikshit Maharaj had that intense desire actually to return. Therefore, he could immediately accept that curse as sent by the Lord himself. Right? Yes. Hell or heaven, not spiritual world. Hell or heaven. Ko sarga narka eva kim sukham the dwelling of brahma kulana lome dhatu abhadrasya punarname abhut papi yasi dhir dvija deva gobhya.
I am uncivilized and sinful due to my neglect of Brahminical culture, God consciousness and cow protection. Therefore, I wish that my kingdom, strength and riches burn up immediately by the fire of Brahmana's wrath, so that in the future I may not be guided by such inauspicious attitudes.
Okay. So, Adyav Rajyam Balam Riddha Kosham Adyav, let it today itself without delay. My kingdom, my strength, balam, right? Balam, also all the army and all the resources are also one strength. And riddha kosham, all my treasury, prakopita brahma kulana lome, let everything be burnt to ashes by brahmanas. He said, let everything be destroyed. Whatever punishment is there, let it come to me. I am ready to take that. Right? So he said, there is the 11th canto verse which says, Ayu Shriyam Yasho Dharmam Lokana Shish Eva Hanti Shriyam Si Sarvani Pumso Mahat Atikrama. This verse says, Ayu Shriyam Yasho Dharmam, one's life, one's opulences, one's beauty, one's religious principle, and all the benedictions he may have received, you know, from demigods or from forefathers, whoever. Hanti Shriyam Si Sarvani, everything is finished when great souls are offended. So the previously a person may have lot of piety, good riches, many blessings, but everything is destroyed by offenses toward great souls. So therefore, herein, knowing that siddhant, Parikshit Maharaj, he says, let all my, the kingdom, strengths, everything, you know, he already knows that is of this world. For him, the dualities of this world, his remembrance of Krishna matters, not the dualities of this world. Yes, so see, the devotee doesn't demand, that is shown, that devotee doesn't demand anything. He is ready to serve Krishna if Krishna desires. He is ready to serve Krishna, and devotee doesn't accept liberation also. That liberation primarily refers to, he doesn't want, when he said devotee doesn't desire, means in one sense he doesn't ask the Lord for anything. That refers to demand actually, one should know. When I say doesn't desire from the Lord, you know, doesn't ask, doesn't demand from the Lord anything. A devotee only asks the Lord for service. But his desire should be there to go back to Godhead, go in Krishna association, because that place is meant for serving Krishna. So, Prabhupada started the magazine Back to Godhead. If the devotee don't desire to go back to Godhead, then who else will, you know, back to Godhead? He said, no, we don't desire to go back to Godhead. We are happy staying. No. Actually, so every devotee should cultivate the desire to return back to Godhead. A devotee doesn't demand. So wherever it is said that devotee doesn't desire, they should understand desire means doesn't demand from the Lord. But internally, a devotee should desire to go back to Godhead. Prabhupada says very clearly that devotee always desired to go back home, back to Godhead. Read the line. 9th or 10th line of the purport. The devotee always desires to go back home, back to Godhead. The whole Bhagavatam is meant to encourage a devotee to develop the desire to go back to Godhead, so that he should know that then who to go back to Godhead, what should be the consciousness of the person, right? A person has to fine-tune his consciousness to devotees like Maharaj Parikshit, right, who went back home, back to Godhead. So a devotee should desire Krishna. So life is anyway going to finish. Right? So therefore, that he will come to know actually. He will come to know of the curse pronounced. He doesn't know the curse yet. And he's expecting as of now. But he's saying, he knows that whenever there is offense toward great souls, the reaction is very severe. So therefore he is saying, let everything, whatever is there, let it be finished. Right, by the prakop of the Brahmana, papayasi dhirudij deva gobhya, let my intelligence never be so sinful, papayasi dhirudij deva gobhya, to offend the Brahmanas, the Supreme Lord, right, and the cows. Let my intelligence never become sinful again as to offend the Supreme Lord, the cows and the Brahmanas. Right? So in this way, Maharaj Parikshit desires that. So Prabhupada says in the purport, in the 6th or 7th line of the purport, the age of Kali aims at killing the higher principles of life, and although Maharaj Parikshit strongly resisted the domination of the personality of Kali within the world, the influence of the age of Kali came at an opportune moment, and even a strong king like Maharaj Parikshit was induced to disregard the Brahminical culture due to slight provocation of hunger and thirst. Right? So here Prabhupada is giving a external perspective in general, that the age of Kali is very strong. Anyone can be influenced by the age of Kali. Right? So therefore no one should consider oneself to be immune, right? So one should always desire the protection of the Supreme Lord, and one should always pray that one may not have a, right? You understanding? So here Prabhupada is not giving that perspective that it happened by the will of the Lord. Here Prabhupada is giving a perspective, external perspective, which is important for us, which is important for those who are have external vision, right? So therefore it is important that to understand that influence of age is very strong. The intelligence can be influenced by sinful desire at any point of time. Therefore, one should be very alert and one should always be prayerful. Right? One should be prayerful that papiyasi dhirudij dev gobhya. My Lord, may our intelligence never become sinful as to commit offenses towards you, towards the Supreme Lord, towards you, the Supreme Lord, and towards the devotees and towards the Lord's cows, right? These principles, like that. We go to text 4. Sa chintayan nittam atha shrinod yatha. mune shutokto nirtistakshakhya to nirtistakshakhya na sadumene na chirena takshaka nalam prasaktasya virakti karanam.
While the king was thus repenting, he received news of his imminent death, which would be due to the bite of a snake bird occasioned by the curse spoken by the sage's son. The king accepted this as good news, for it would be the cause of his indifference toward worldly things.
Okay, so Sa Chintayan Itham, in this way when he was contemplating, as given the last three verses, Atha Shunodhyatha, he heard Mune Sut Ukto Nritis Takshakhaya. Mune Sut Ukto, he heard what was pronounced by the creation in that way. The desire is to serve the Lord, understand. That place is the meant for Krishna service. That desire is not selfish desire. That desire is to enhance one's service to the Lord, to serve Krishna more intimately. Want to say something? Yes. He doesn't desire that again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't ask the Lord that give me liberation from this world. He only desires service. He asks the Lord, prays for the service. Right? That's what we discussed, that a devotee doesn't demand anything. He only asked the Lord for service. But a part of that, desiring the Lord, that mama janmani janmeshwari bhavatad bhaktir, that place where uninterrupted devotion service can be performed is a spiritual world. So in one sense, he doesn't want the liberation from the Lord, but he wants continued service. He doesn't demand that I should be freed from the... See, there is a subtle difference between the two. This world is a world of many problems. So a devotee doesn't desire that, you know, let me have better facilities. But a devotee does desire, let me better serve you. Right? So there is a subtle difference between the two. Does a devotee desire his own more convenience or service to the Lord? You're getting the point? So there is a subtle difference. So therefore, a devotee doesn't desire, let me have better facilities, but let the Lord have better service. So that there are better facilities in the spiritual world to serve the Lord. But what does he desire? So the prominently the desire is to serve the Lord. Guru text 6. Yavailasa Shri Tulasi Vimishra. Krishnangrirenu Abhyadikambunetri Punati Loka Nubayatrasheshan Kastam Nasevedamarishyamana.
The river Ganges, by which the king sat to fast, carries the most auspicious water, which is mixed with the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord and Tulsi leaves. Therefore, the water sanctifies the three worlds inside and outside, and even sanctifies Lord Shiva and other demigods. Consequently, everyone who is destined to die must take shelter of this river.
So the glory of Mother Ganga is given over here, that she carries the dust or the aroma of Krishna's lotus feet. Therefore, she has the power to purify Punati Lokan, all the three worlds she can purify. Kastam na sevet marishyamana. Who is the person who is about to die and who will not serve Mother Ganges? Kastam na sevet. Yes. Upavishat prayam amartya nadyam. Purport to last line. More the Ganges and Yamuna are Amartya, transcendental rivers, and Yamuna is still more sanctified for the following reasons. Following reasons in the Prabhupada gives in the purport. Yeah, in the purport. In the purport, Prabhupada talks about Jiva Goswami in the purport of 5. No, in the 6th. In the 6th. Okay, so even Yamuna is Amartya Nadya. Right? So, yes, so here, who is there who will not serve Mother Ganges, who is about to die? Right? So, Prabhupada says in the purport, generally it is said that the king took shelter on the bank of Ganges. But according to Srila Jiva Goswami, the king took shelter on the bank of Yamuna. But anyway, so there is a, it could be either is possible, right? But different pastime happened in different kalpa also. Prabhupada says according to geographical location, it looks like he took shelter of Yamuna. But the Ganga word is also mentioned by Maharaj Parikshit himself. So there is no conflict. So both are Amartya Nadyam, right? So you don't have to go into create unnecessary conflict. Both rivers are have a touch of the Lord's lotus feet. For Gaudiya Vaishnavas, river Yamuna is there is sometimes bhav also involved. Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they have more attraction for Yamuna because Krishna played his pastime. So Prabhupada talks of that Yamuna is even more sanctified. Yamuna is sanctified 100 times, right, than Mother Ganga because Krishna had played, right? But then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his pastime in Ganga and Ganga also became 100 times sanctified. So both are equally placed, right? So therefore there is no confusion between the two. Right? So either Ganga or Yamuna, he took both are Amartya Nadya and both actually helps a person to achieve the ultimate goal of life. Go to text 7. Iti vavichidya sa pandaveya prayo bhavesham prati vishnu padya calamities. Right? It's a sudden thing, right? Within 7 days you are going to die. So therefore his consciousness is very exalted and many things we have to learn. So when he heard about this curse, another thing mentioned is Vishwanath Thakur has said that actually the sage had sent one of his students known as Gaurmukh. It's mentioned in your Bhagavad Subodhani also. That the saint sent the message, he first of all regretted, you know, that this my son has committed the mistake, I apologize, right? And so many regrets first of all the sage sent. And then he informed him that this is the curse so that the king can prepare for his imminent death now. So the sage sent the message to the king. So the king thought, well, let me go to the sage and beg forgiveness from the sage. You know, I have committed a mistake, let me beg forgiveness. But when he heard the news, when he heard the letter of the sage, which had so many repentances, Maharaj Parikshit thought, if I go to him, I am feeling sorry for my mistake, but the sage is feeling much more sorry. You know, if I go to him, he will be further embarrassed. So Maharaj Parikshit, although he wanted to go to beg forgiveness on his part, but more consideration, more important consideration became, I should not embarrass the sage who is expressing so much repentance. So in order not to embarrass the sage, right? So just see, even at the last moment of his life, when he has been asked that he will be dying soon, he is thinking someone should not be embarrassed. Usko to jivan ja raha hai. Right? His life is going, but Maharaj Parikshit is so sensitive, he doesn't want to embarrass the sage by going in front of him. And secondly, the two reasons are given why he didn't go to the sage. Firstly, was he didn't want to embarrass the sage. Secondly, he didn't want any counteraction. Dado mukundam grimananya bhavo Muni Vrato Mukta Samasta Sangha.
Thus the king, the worthy descendant of Pandavas, decided once and for all and sat on the Ganges bank to fast until death and give himself up to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who alone is able to award liberation. So freeing himself from all kinds of association and attachments, he accepted the vows of a sage.
Okay, so Dado Mukundangri Ananya Bhav, with Ananya Bhav, he decided to give his consciousness completely at the Mukundangrim, the lotus feet of Mukunda. So the word Mukundangrim here suggests that it indicates that Lord's lotus feet, Mukunda means one who gives liberation, that the Lord's lotus feet will liberate, can liberate a person from any sin, including the sin committed toward the Brahmana. Right? So Maharaj Parikshit will be completely purified and he will attain the ultimate goal of life. And Prayopavesham Prati Vishnu Padyam, and actually Mother Ganga, Mother Yamuna, they help a person to fix their mind completely at Lord's lotus feet. They assist actually. Right? Ananya Bhavo. So the Prabhupada says that in the 7th or 8th line of the purport, the banks of the Ganges or the Yamuna give one a chance to remember the Lord continuously. Right? Like that. And again, traveling in this world, people or even so many living entities are moving around. You ask, why are you going? Right? There is always some interest of their own. Someone who travels to show anugrah to others. Right? It's very rare in this world. You go to airport and find out, you know, or some train station, you know, TT, check the tickets, ask them to ride, why are you traveling? No one will ride, I'm traveling to show favor to somebody else, you know. Person travels for his own purpose in this world. But here, the great sages, they travel for others' purpose, right? So Prabhupada made a journey 50 years back, right? He is the only person probably who is traveling for so long in the sea for para-anugraha, right? To show benefit to others, right? Everyone else travels to do some business, to earn something, to meet relatives, friends, whatever, you know, for some purpose of their own. But the quality of the great saintly people, right, like Prabhupada and these great sages, they have travelled so such a long distance only to show favour to others, paranugraha. Right? So that Maharaj Parikshit glorifies them and expresses his gratitude. Prabhupada writes in the last three lines of the purport, they have nothing to do in this world save and accept, reclaim the fallen souls rotting in material existence, deluded by material energy. Right? That's the only purpose of their travel. 24. Tatascha va pricham imam vipriche. Vishrabhya vipraiti krittatayam. Sarvatmanam riyamanascha krityam Shuddham chatatram rishata abhiyukta.
O trustworthy Brahmanas, I now ask you about my immediate duty.
Please start first of all. Right? That is the question. So no online registration, no offline registration. All these munis, they just came like that. Right? What about accommodation and prasad? They all are going to fast. They all are Jitendriyas. They can just stay anywhere and just fast for many days. Right? So this is such a beautiful yatra. There is no organization. There is no management. And they all have come here. They will be fasting and just stay beneath the tree, you know, anywhere. On the bank of Ganga, they will all stay. There is no question of rest, you know, sleeping. They all have come 7 days, seven nights to hear katha. Right? So no sleeping, no eating. No room allotment, right? Right? Such a blissful yatra, especially for the managers, right? So They all have full control over the senses. All are jitendriyas, right? So therefore, they all thousands and thousands of them. Each one is coming with thousands of shishyas, right? And he said it looked like people in general thought, you know, Rishi Muni, they go on pilgrimage. You know, anyways, many of the sages and with their disciples, they go on long pilgrimage. So those who were onlookers, they thought, there is a pilgrimage. All the sages are going on pilgrimage. But he's saying, swayam hi tirthani punanti santa. It looked like they are on a pilgrimage, but he said they are themselves purifiers of the places of pilgrimage. Therefore, it's not that they are on a pilgrimage at present. They have specifically come to witness, to hear, first of all, they came to know that there will be a Bhagavad Katha. They themselves come to hear Bhagavad Katha and to witness Maharaj Parikshit going back to Godhead. This event is very special and rare. A person going back to Godhead is not an ordinary event actually. To witness a person going back to Krishna, the Lord, is very purifying to the heart. It gives a lot of strength, encouragement. It is not an ordinary thing. Therefore, all the sages, on the plea of pilgrimage, right? Others people who may be thinking, or they may have said, you know, some people are like, "Kahan ja rahe ka? Pilgrimage, you know, kind of. But within their heart, they wanted to witness Maharaj Parikshit going back to Godhead and hear the Katha of Bhagavat. Because prayana tirtha looks like they're going tirtha, but swayam hi tirthani rules out. That's not the main reason. Or that's not the reason at all. Because they themselves purify the places of pilgrimage. Okay. This kind of Bhavad Bida Bhagavatas and their other verses also, which say that how the sages, great sages, are themselves the purifier of the places of pilgrimage. Okay. So like that. Another thing is, how did all the sages come to know? You know, said what? Who sent the message? You know, the king just sat down, and the sages from not just this varsha, from the other khandas, from the other dvipas. You know, we know that there are on this bhumandal there are various dvipas and varshas, right? 7 dvipas, 9 varshas, right? And then there are further within one varsha there are different khandas. So like that, so many divisions, subdivisions. They came from various planets actually, right? So how did they all come to know? Narad Muni communications, right? Actually, universal media is under Narad Muni's control. Narad Muni can spread the news universally very fast, right? In this world, actually, if you see, this earth planet media, you know, the bad news are spread very fast. Good news are restricted in this world. But Narad Muni, who controls the universal media, spreads the good news very fast. Many bad news, mishap, that is not spread fast, you know. The fact is, you know, the good news should be spread all over. The earth, on this planet, all the bad news are spread everywhere, right? The good news that, you know, Bhagavad Vidyapeet batch is starting, nowhere. right? The good news, you know, people can attend, but no, nowhere such news are advertised or something, right? Or today, first canto is finishing. It's a good news, you know, but no one comes to know, right? In this world, so only the rubbish news are spread. But Narad Muni, as soon as Parikshit Maharaj is going to hear katha, this news spread far and wide. Right? Narad Muni's technology is much higher than WhatsApp system, or and he can spread the news universally very fast. Transportation system is also very superior. They all started coming immediately from other planets. Right? So there are higher, much higher technology is there actually. Go to text 9 and 10. Atrir Vashishthas Chavanash Sharadvan Chavanash Arishtane Mir Brigurangirascha Parasharoga Disuto Atharama Uthatya Indra Pramaded Uthatya Indra Pramaded Manvaho Pramaded Mahavaho Medhadithir Devalarishtaseno Bharat Vajo Gautama Piplada Maitreya Aurav Kuvasa Kumbayonir Dvaipayano Bhagavan Naradascha.
From different parts of universe there arrived great sages like Atri, Chavana, Sharadavan, Van, Arishtanemi, Bhrugu, Vashishta, Parashara, Vishwamitra, Angira, Parshuram, Uthaya, Indra Pramad, Idvamahu. Medha Tithi, Devala, Arishtisena, Bharadvaj, Gautama, Pipalada, Maitreya, Aurva, Kavasha, Kumbha, Yoni, Dvaipayana, and the great personality Narada.
Okay, so all these sages actually are very prominent sages. Each one has performed so many important activities, right? They have thousands and thousands of disciples, and their pastimes or their activities have been described in various scriptures, right? So they from these sages who came, one can estimate the importance of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyasadev himself, who is compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, he came to hear. Narad Muni, who instructed that Srimad Bhagavatam be compiled, he also came to hear. The grandfather of Vyasadev, Vasishtha Muni, is one of the greatest Brahmarishi. He is the grandfather of Vyasadev. He also came. Actually, all these sages are tremendously powerful sages, right? Those are assembling to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and to witness the departure of Maharaj Parikshit. Right? So therefore, from this assembly, one can understand that how, right, Atma Ramas Chamuneo Nirgrantha Api Rukkrame Kurunte Hitukam Bhaktim Itham Bhuta Gunohari. Right? This verse also demonstrate that how attractive is Srimad Bhagavatam to all these great sages. Right? Parshuram, who is himself one of the Shaktivesha Avataras, he also came. Narad Muni Shaktivesha Avatara, Vyasadevi Shaktivesha Avatara, right? So the Lord's own Shaktivesha Avataras are coming, so many of them, right? These sages have themselves compiled many scriptures, but they all are coming to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and Auran Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit had asked us, please tell me, what should be duty? Those twofold question. Shuddham chatatra amrishta abhiyukta. Please tell in common agreement. That was his. You all deliberate, discuss among yourself, and have a common agreement. So, but it looks like Vishwanath Thakur points out that they could not have a common agreement because there were so many sages. Some of them said, you know, he should now. Given charity, he should profusely distribute charity. Other side, he should do tapa. Other side, he should do yoga. Right? So, dana, tapa, right? Yajna, dana, tapa. These three things Krishna also recommends. So, different people recommend yajna, dana, tapa, yoga, etc. Common agreement could not be reached. So, at that point of time, Vishwanath Thakur says, some of the sages were glancing and they desired the appearance of Shukdev Goswami in their mind. Right? Some of the sages. How did they desire the appearance of Shukdev Goswami in the mind? Right? Anyway, we'll discuss that point. So they started looking toward the path from which Shukdev Goswami would actually come very soon. So some of the sages who knew that how Shukdev Goswami has recently studied Bhagavatam and is a very pure soul, they desired his coming like that. So they could not, in general, the consensus could not be reached. And about Shukdev, so therefore Shukdev Goswami, text 25 says, Shukdev Goswami, tatra bhavad, at that point of time, Bhagavan Vyasa Putra, who is very powerful, Yadrichaya. Right? So the ordinary people of this world, they feel they don't have much time, you know, to spend Bhagavatam. But actually these great sages, right, they are the most powerful people. And they show the priority, they show that they have all the time for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? They close down their ashrams because all the sishyas also came, you know. They let the ashram be locked, you know. All the disciples, the sages, they all came. This shows how they give priority, you know. Where to give priority, the sages are showing. Right? 11th. Annecha dev rishi bam rishi. Annecha dev rishi bam rishi varya. Raj rishi varya runadayascha. Nana rishaya pravaran sametan. Abhyarcha Raja Shirasava Vande.
There were also many other saintly demigods kings and special royal orders called runadayas, a special rank of rajarshis from different dynasties of sages. When they all assembled together to meet the emperor Parikshit, he received them properly and bowed his head to the ground.
Right, so many, many rishis came, Devarishis, Bam rishis, Raja rishis, and Nana rishis, other rishis, right? So there are many kind of rishis who all came. And Parikshit Maharaj, he received them all and he offered his obeisances. He bowed down, Abhyarcha Raja Shirsa Vavande. He bowed down to them. Prabhupada says the system of bowing the head to the ground to show respect to superior is an excellent etiquette which obliges the honored guest deep into the heart. Even the first grade offender is excused simply by this process. Right? So the bowing down before a superior, touching the head to the ground, Prabhupada glorifies this etiquette. And Prabhupada says, generally at the last stage of one's life, this humble method is adopted by every sensible man in order to be excused after departure. In this way, Maharaj Parikshit implored everyone's goodwill for going back home, back to Godhead. Sukhopavishteshu atateshu bhuya krita pranama suchikirshitam yat gyapayama asvivikta cheta upasthito agre abhigrahita pani.
And others had seated themselves comfortably. The king, humbly standing before them with folded hands, told them of his decision to fast until death.
Krita pranama again is mentioned. He offered them obeisances. Actually, this is a very important thing. You know, when suddenly you imagine, you know, such big, big rishis are coming and king has already decided, he has not made any arrangement. You know, there is no welcome drink or anything. Suddenly they all have come. He's just fasting now himself and he sat down. So therefore, when in any circumstances, when a person doesn't know what to do, he should remember, I should simply offer obeisances. That's actually given in the Bhagavatam in many places. When a person, you know, is in a situation, he doesn't know what to do, you know, just offer obeisances. They're the best thing to do when a person is confused. Right? What should I do? So suddenly, you know, great personality comes, you are suddenly in front of the Lord, you know, someone pushes you and suddenly in front of you don't know what to do. You offer obeisances, right? Remember that. So therefore, Maharaj Parikshit, you know, is
all. Next, 7.6, it is said that, now he explained the material and the spiritual, and then in 7.6 he is saying that, among these two, I am the superior. So Krishna is saying that I am the superior of among this material and spiritual energy, like that, in 7.6. And then from the 7.7, he explained that although I am the source of everything, but everyone cannot see that I am the source of everything. Then he gave the analogy of pearls and the thread, sutre mani ganayuva. Like that. So thread can't be seen. So like that. Although I am the maintainer, everything is depend on me. But they are difficult to see that I am the source of that. And then 7.8 to 12, he is elaborately discuss about the material energies. That bhumi rapo nalo vayu kamo no udire, which is given about the material energies, like how the water. The Krishna is saying the taste of the water, I am the taste of water, then the light of sun and moon, then sound of ether, fragrance of air, then life of all the living entities, intelligence of the intelligence, prowess of the power man, powers of the prowess man. And then like that he is saying about the 7.8 to 11, and the 7.12 he is saying that I am the origin of the everything that exists, but I am not affected by this because I am the Nirguna. I am not affected by the any moods, like that he's saying. Like the analogy is given, Prabhupada, that like a king makes the laws, but he's not abide to follow the laws, like that. So that is 7.12. And then 13 and 14, it is given that how Although the effect of modes is such that, but how one can get free from this modes? So 7.30 and 14, it is comment on the, when a person, but person do not understand that how to, you know, essence of all is Krishna, but they are, you know, bewildered by the modes of material nature, like that. So in 7.30, so the best.
Many great sages coming, how should he welcome them, how should he receive them? He just offer obeisances to all of them. Right? Kato pranama. And then he submits with folded hand. He tells his decision that I have decided to fast till death, sit on the bank of Ganges. He conveys his decision. He wants to confirm. And Prabhupada says, any decision, however important, third line, should be confirmed by some authority. That makes the matter perfect. So there may be some very important decision or even small decision, but if we confirm it with our superior, you know, I have decided to do this, that makes the matter perfect. Why? Because with the confirmation of some senior devotee, also one receives the blessings. That makes the matter perfect. You know, there may be many impediments in one's decision, but when there is a approval with that, there is a blessings also. So that is important point which Prabhupada makes. 13. Rajo Vacha Aho Vayam Dhanyatama Nipanam Mahattamanu Graniya Shila Ragyam Kulam Brahmana Pada Sochan Durad Vrishishtam Bhatagarya Karma.
The fortunate king said, indeed, we are the most grateful of all the kings who are trained to get favors from the great souls. Generally, you sages consider royalty as refuse to be rejected and left in a distant place.
Okay, so Maharaj Parikshit, he expresses his gratitude towards all the sages. After bowing down and telling his decision, he says, Oh, vayam dhanyatama nipanam. I have been very fortunate to be blessed by you all, because in general, great sages, they don't interact with the kings and pound and shilling men. Just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not willing to have an audience with Maharaj Parikshit. He considered to be like drinking poison willingly. Then Maharaj Pratap Rudra and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is there. Right? Virakta sanyasi amar raja darshan stri darshan sam vishera bhakshan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told, seeing a king will be like seeing a woman, and it will be like drinking poison willingly. Right? So therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is also saying the same thing. He says, ragyam kulam brahmana pad sauchad. The Kshatriyas and the kings, the great sages, they keep at a distance from them, just like a person discards his foot wash. You know, it would be, Prabhupada says, the modern, this attached toilet bathroom may be very convenient amenities, but they are ordered to be situated at a distance from residential quarters. You see the second, third and fourth line of the purport. Right? So it is actually from Vedic point of view, it's all abominable. It's a dirty thing, you know, to have. That's the toilet, bathroom, even foot wash should be outside, well outside of the boundary wall. You know, there is a compound and the courtyard, then residential quarter. Should be outside of the main boundary wall. All this toilet, bathroom, foot wash, they are considered dirty. He said, therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is giving example, just like the great sages, they discard all these things outside, right? Don't bring in. The great sages do not meet Kshatriyas in general. Right? So that example is given by Maharaj Parikshit. They don't come and interact. Just like these dirty things are kept at a distance. Similarly, the Kshatriyas, they consider meeting with the Kshatriyas to be actually maybe contaminating their heart. Right? So therefore, they keep them at a distance, like these dirty things. Right? So they will reveal the ocean of lamentation. But Bhagavatam study dries away the ocean of lamentation. It purifies the person from the passion. And therefore, a person can ascend to the lokam param, which is virajaskam Vishokam. So the sage is assured that you will all be here to see that you achieve that supreme planet, which is forever free from all passion and lamentation. So Prabhupada says, also they assured him that we will be with you. Prabhupada says, they wanted to see him till the last moment. They were thinking, when else shall we get the chance to see such a devotee of the Lord? Because as we said, Narayana Parayana devotee is very rare. So they wanted to see him till the last moment. Their own, it was their own self-interest also. But that is the true self-interest. Right? That is the true selfishness, pure selfishness. That they want to see him till the last moment. Where else actually they will find such a great devotee of the Lord in that way. Text 22. आश्रुत्य तद्दृशी गणव वचा परीक्षेत समम मध्युचुद गुरु चावलीकम अभाषतेनान अभिनंदयुक्तान शुश्रूषमानस चरितानि विष्णु.
All that was spoken by the great sages was very sweet to hear, full of meaning and appropriately presented as perfectly true. So after hearing them, Maharaj Parikshit, desiring to hear of the activities of Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, congratulated the sages. The great sage has appeared before me in such a way that only out of fear I will detach myself from the world.
Right, so he expresses his gratitude to the sages, and then he now, after appreciating the sages, he is now appreciating the Lord's mercy upon him. Right? So he said, actually the Lord has seen me very attached to these worldly possessions. The Lord has appeared in this form of Brahmana's curse. Right? So after appreciating the sages, he is appreciating the Lord's mercy upon him. Prabhupada says, Maharaj Parikshit, although born in a family of great devotees, the Pandavas, and although securely trained in transcendental attachment for the association of the Lord, still found the allurement of mundane family so strong that he had to be detached by the plan of the Lord. We discussed this point, that how a person, Maharaj Parikshit, who was, Prabhupada says, securely trained in transcendental attachment. Just see the beauty of Prabhupada's, you know, phrase. He was securely trained in transcendental attachment. And yet if Maharaj Parikshit is thinking like that, then you can imagine that what about those who have no training, right, who are only having attachments in this world, right? Text 15, we'll study this verse and then take a break. It's a very, very important verse, text 15. Tammopayatum pratiyantu vipra Ganga cha devi dhrita chittamishe Nijopa srishta kuhukastakshakova Dashattalam gayata vishnugatha.
O Brahmanas, just accept me as a completely surrendered soul, and let Mother Ganges, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in the way, for I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Let the snake bird or whatever magical thing that Brahmana created bite me at once. I only desire that you all continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu.
Okay, so when Maharaj Parikshit said, you know, this curse has come, the Lord has sent So some of the rishis said, no, there is no need for you to succumb to the curse. Right? There were many great sages, and someone said, I will be able to counteract the poison. Nothing. The other sages, someone said, I will take you to a place where Takshaka can't approach you. Others said, when Takshaka come, I will freeze him. You know, just like we say, statue game. I'll freeze him, he'll not be able to come to you. So these many sages had many mystical powers. So they all proposed various solutions. Right? However, Maharaj Parikshit told, he said, no, I don't want you to do that. Absolutely, don't do that. Don't even talk about that. Right? Dashuttaram Gayata Vishnu Gatha. Don't waste time in thinking all this. You know, 7 days will go to just find solution only otherwise. Said, you should immediately start Krishna Katha. Dashattalam Gayata Vishnu Gatha. Please don't discuss any measures. I do not want to counter this curse. Supreme Lord is coming in the form of this curse. I only desire you all. He is saying, Tam Mopayatam Prativantivita Gangaja Devi Dhrita Chittamishe. He said, don't think that I am scared of death or something, you know. Don't feel pity upon me. You know, don't feel you have to save me or something. He said, no, I have fixed my mind. Dhrita Chittam Ishe. Let Mother Ganga is there. She accept me as a surrendered soul. And the Lord may accept me in the same way. I have fixed my mind on the Lord. You all should only talk about Krishna now. Right? Just see the determination of Maharaj Parikshit. He doesn't even want them to discuss any countermeasures. He doesn't want them to express their sympathy also. You know, sometimes a person is in difficulty, he wants to hear words of sympathy. Don't worry, you know, whatever, etc. So he said, no, don't talk any of these things. Dashattalam Gayata Vishnu Gatha. Just sing the glories of Krishna. Right? Just see the exalted consciousness of Maharaj Parikshit. Just want them to sing or talk about Krishna. Right? Total disregard for anything else. Right? Do not want to hear word of sympathy. Do not want to hear countermeasures. Right? Etc. Do not want them to... A person when he is in difficulty, he likes the other person who discuss about the difficulty. You know, a person feels so many bahut difficulty, you know, great calamity has come and a person feels, yes. Right? A person likes when other people discuss his calamitous situation. But here Maharaj Parikshit says, no, don't waste time at all. Discuss nothing of it. Only sing the glories of Krishna. Right? Just see how exclusively he is fixed. Right? Just see the resolve of Maharaj Parikshit. So contemplation of Maharaj Parikshit consciousness can actually give us so much inspiration. Right? He is in a very difficult circumstances. Actually the most difficult circumstance. There can be no greater difficult circumstance than the imminent death, right? This is the most tough circumstance anyone can face. But Maharaj Parikshit is absolutely resolved that he wants to just hear of Krishna and nothing else, right? So therefore this verse is very beautiful and important. Okay, so we take a break and we'll continue. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, text 16. Punascha bhuyad bhagavatyanante prati prasangascha tadashrayeshu mahasuyamyam upayami srishtim maitriyastu sarvatra namo dvijebhya.
Again, offering obeisances unto all you Brahmanas, I pray that if I should again take my birth in the material world, I will have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna, association with his devotees, and friendly relations with all living beings.
Okay, so he asked for three desires. He said, Punascha Bhuyad, if again, what again happens? Mahasuyamyam upayami system. If I have to, this material creation is Mahatsu. If I have to born again in this material world, Punascha Bhuyat, ever come back again, then what does he desires? Bhagavati Anante Rati. That is the first thing. Attraction towards the pastimes, towards hearing about the Supreme Lord. Bhagavate Anante Rati. Attraction towards hearing, towards serving Krishna. Prasangascha tad ashrayeshu. Tad ashrayeshu means who has taken shelter of him. I want their intimate association. We had discussed, right? Sangha is association. Prasanga means intimate association. Dharma projit. Ujit means to uproot. Projit means to completely uproot. Right? The pra word is used over here. Prasangas tad ashrayeshu. Tad ashrayeshu means Bhagavati Anante, who has taken shelter of him. Second desire. Then third, maitriyastu sarvatra. Friendly disposition towards all living entities. A devotee doesn't want to harm any living entity. He's a player like Prabhupada used to write, you're ever well-wisher. Maitriyastu sarvatra. Right? So there's the third desire. Namo dijebhya. He offers his obeisances, and some of the commentators, they classify this as a fourth desire, Namo Dijebhya. May I always be respectful to the Brahmanas and never offend them. Namo Dijebhya. Right? So either he is offering them obeisances, or this can also be put as his fourth desire also. Right? So in this way, he says, if I have to come back again to this material world, then let these three or the four desires be granted. Okay, so Prabhupada says very beautifully, last four or five lines of the purport, Maharaj Parikshit was certainly going back to Godhead. But even if he were not to go back, right, a devotee doesn't presume or he doesn't demand, so therefore he said, even if I am not going, he prayed for a pattern of life which is the most perfect way in the material world. Right? So devotee, actually, if a person has attraction towards hearing about Krishna, serving him, very intimate association of devotees, and a friendly disposition towards all living entities, he is actually living in the spiritual world only. In that sense. So this is the art of living. Right? These three things. Prabhupada says the most perfect way in the material world. This is the pattern of life, most perfect way in the material world. Right? Or if this one has these three boons or three blessings, then he is as good as living in the spiritual world also. Iti smarajat. Iti smarajya dhyavasaya yukta prachina mooleshu. So the the women and children kind of were unable to recognize, kind of, you know, children play around some fun game or something, right? So that kind of behavior is indicated. And Prabhupada says also the third last line, as doctors differ, so also the sages differ in their prescription. Right? So Prabhupada writes that they could not have a unanimous prescription because there are differences of opinion. Shrutiyo tarko patishta, shrutiyo vibhinna. There's another verse which describes that. Text 26. Tum dyastavarsham sukumarapada karoru bahavam shakapola gatram charu ayatakshunana tulyakarna tukshna satulyakarna subhruananam kambu sujata kantam.
This son of Vyasadeva was only 16 years old. His legs, hands, thighs, arms, shoulders, forehead, and the other parts of his body were all delicately formed. His eyes were beautifully wide, and his nose and ears were highly raised. He had a very attractive face, and his neck was well formed and beautiful like a conch shell.
So again, Prabhupada says the description of his form is described here. The description begins with his legs. So Prabhupada says a respectable personality is described beginning with the legs. And this honored system is observed here in Sukhdev Goswami. Prabhupada says a person is honored for his achievements and not for advanced age. A person can be older by experience and not by age. Srila Sukhdev Goswami, who is described here in the son of Vyasadev, Kusheshu Dhira Udan Mukho Dakshina Kula Aste Samudra Patnya Sasutnyastabhara Sasutnyastabhara.
In perfect self-control, Maharaj Parikshit sat down on a seat of straw, its straw roots facing the east, placed on the southern bank of Ganges, and he himself faced the north. Just previously he had given charge of his kingdom over to his son.
Okay, so these are the favorable conditions over here, the auspicious ways of placing the direction, etc. is given. 18. Evam chatasmin naradeva deve prayo pavishte divideva sangha pashasya bhumo vikaran prashunair muda muhurdundu bhayaschanedu.
Thus the king Maharaj Parikshit sat to fast until death. All the demigods of the higher planets praised the king's action, and in pleasure continually scattered flowers over the earth and beat celestial drums.
Okay, usually, you know, when Krishna is victorious, then these demigods come and beat celestial drums, right? But here in Parikshit Maharaj had just made the determination to fast until death and hear about Krishna, right? Just by that determination, the demigods are showering flowers. So therefore, we understand that how even right determination is synonymous with actually victory. A person is situated in right determination, he's actually as good as victorious. And Prabhupada says, in the sixth last line of the purport, a demigod takes pleasure in seeing someone go back to Godhead. Even demigods have come to participate. Right? It's an event which is very rare in this material world, actually. Right? So this is a very glorious event which is celebrated by higher beings. Right? Prabhupada says again, he is always pleased with the devotee of the Lord, so much so that by his adhidevic powers, he may help the devotees in all respects. He refers to any particular demigod. And by their actions, the Lord is pleased with them. There is an invisible chain of complete cooperation between the Lord and demigods and the devotees of the Lord on earth. Right? So this is again a beautiful insight. So there is an invisible chain of complete cooperation between Krishna, the demigod, and his practicing devotees or perfect, those who have perfected their Krishna consciousness. 19. Invisible chain of complete cooperation. The demigods here are coming to participate, right? So the demigods help a person. There is always a complete cooperation. The demigods help a person to advance towards Krishna. They encourage him, right? Sorry? Oh, see, there is a complete, even the demigod, when they give miseries, they're helping a person, you know, they're pushing him towards Krishna, in one sense, you know, poking him to go, to take shelter of Krishna. So in that way, in the demigods who are surrendered, they help a sincere sadhaka in his journey towards the Lord, right? So now in this way, now, Parikshit Maharaja said with the right determination, they encourage him with showering of flowers. So therefore, Prabhupada says there is an invisible chain of cooperation, complete cooperation. 19. Maharshiyo vai samupagataye prashasya sadhu iti anumodamana uchu prajanu grahashila sara
All the great sages who were assembled there also praised the decision of Maharaj Parikshit, and they expressed their approval by saying, "Very good. Naturally, the sages are inclined to do good to common men, for they have all the qualitative powers of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, they were very much pleased to see Maharaj Parikshit, a devotee of the Lord, and they spoke as follows."
Right, so Maharishiyo vai samupagataye, the word assembled, prashasya sadhu iti anumodamana. They not just approved, right, he submitted that I want to fast till death, and they not just approved of his decision, they also praised. Right, one thing is, okay, fine, you know, you can go ahead, do that. Other thing is, they not just approved, but they praised his decision also. So therefore, two things, prashasya and anumodamana, they approved and praised the decision of Maharaj Parikshit. Because these sages, uchu prajanugraha shila sara, they know how to benefit, they know the essence, how to benefit a living entity. Yaduttama shloka gunabhirupam, they are beautiful with the qualities of Krishna. Yaduttama shloka gunabhirupam. Right? Actually, Bhagavatam gives so many qualities of Krishna. They are also reflected in his pure devotees. So when a person is endowed with these divine qualities, as we discussed yesterday also, today also, he was empowered, he could fight and defeat everyone. Krishna took away his power, then he was powerless. Right? So it is whom is Krishna empowering at that point of time? It's not that the sages do not have the capability. So many sages, they are all great capable persons. But at this point of time, Krishna's will and empowerment is on Shukadev Goswami. Therefore, he became the most important at this particular point of time. So one cannot compare just like that. Right? So the Prabhupada was not at all important personality in Gaudiya Math at all. For big, big sannyasis, Prabhupada's position was nothing actually. But when Krishna empowered Prabhupada, Krishna will was to be carried through Prabhupada. Prabhupada became so prominent. Who was otherwise unknown in Gaudiya Math? Few Gaudiyas only knew. And they knew him to be a businessman, you know, who helps sometimes, you know, as such, very marginal position in Gaudiya Math. Right? But when Krishna empowered Prabhupada, then Prabhupada became the most important missionary who would carry out Mahaprabhu's mission. Right? So it is whom Krishna wants to execute his will, whom Krishna is empowering. So you never know actually, you know, there could be a person who was always on the side, in fringe, he was never in the limelight for so many years. Krishna may empower a very marginal personality to lead the mission. You never know. Right? So here a 16-year-old boy, you know, young lad in one sense. Right? There are sages from the time of Lord Ram, right? Vashishtha and others, and who guided, and there are incarnations of the Lord. There are Brahma Rishis, Maharishis, you know, so many big, big rishis. Sukadeva Goswami is no rishi, you know, as such. He has no title. And there are avatars of the Lord, and here is this young boy. You know, what is the comparison in that sense? But Krishna's empowerment is on Sukadeva Goswami. And everyone is respecting that. No one is envious, you know. Also Maharaj Parikshit. That person becomes extremely beautiful. Right? So beautiful with the qualities of Krishna. So these sages were beautiful with the qualities of Krishna. They wanted to benefit. They approved as well as praised the decision. Like that. Prabhupada says, the natural beauty of a living entity is enhanced by rising up to the platform of devotional service. Right? As a person performs devotional service, he hears and chants about Krishna, then Krishna qualities gradually manifest and a person becomes more and more and more beautiful. Like that. Text 20. Nava idam raj rishivarya chitram. Bhavat sukrishnam samanuvrateshu. Ye dhyasanam rajakirita jushtam. Sadyo jahur bhagavat parshvakama.
The sages said, O chief of all the saintly kings of the Pandu dynasty who are strictly in the line of Lord Shri Krishna, it is not at all astonishing that you give up your throne, which is decorated with the helmets of many kings, to achieve eternal association with the personality of Godhead.
So this throne was not ordinary throne. This throne, there were many, many kings who were, it was as we had discussed, Maharaj Parikshit was This planet is 1/9 of Bharatvarsha. Right? Within Bharatvarsha, there are 9 khandas we had discussed. Of this, the whole planet Earth is simply 1 khanda. Maharaj Parikshit was not just ruling Bharatvarsha, but other varshas also. So it was a throne of not this just planet, but much, much extended. Right? Sometimes we think Maharaj Parikshit was ruling all over the world, Prabhupada says. World is not this earth only. It extends much beyond. Right? So, the other khandas and the dvipas were actually under the control of Maharaj Parikshit. It's mentioned actually. Sorry? We can't see them. We can't see them. Right? We have a limitation actually to see a particular, up to particular, you know. But it was a much, much bigger kingdom, much beyond, right? Hundreds of times greater than the planet Earth, right? So therefore they are saying it is not astonishing. Actually, usually it should be very astonishing, you know, that such a big kingdom, he just sadyo juhur gave it immediately, but said we are not astonished, right? Because you are Raj Rishi Varya, you have great lineage, right? And you are giving it up for Bhagavat Parshvakama. You want to become one of the associates of the Lord. For the devotees of the Lord, it is not astonishing that they can give up anything immediately to attain Lord's association. So they glorify Maharaj, sages glorify determination of Maharaj Parikshit in this way. Text 21. Sarve vayam tavadihasmayath. Sarve vayam tavadihasmayath. तावदिहास्मयथ कलेवरं यावदसो विहाय लोकं परं वीरजस्कं विशोकं वीरजसस्कं विशोकं यास्यत्तेयं भागवत प्रधाना.
We shall all wait here until the foremost devotee of the Lord, Maharaj Parikshit, returns to the supreme planet, which is completely free from all mundane contamination and all kinds of lamentation.
Okay, so they all tell him that we will all be here till you achieve the supreme planet. Right? Lokam Param, the supreme planet. Which is Virajaskam, there is no passion over there, right? Which is highly glorified in this world. Once I had gone to the industrial area in Rudrapur, it was in Uttaranchal, you know, we had gone for book distribution. All the companies were writing on their billboards, you know, we are driven by passion, we are excelling by passion, we are motivated by passion, right? So every, you know, the whole passion is a highly glorified thing, you know. You are triggered by passion, so many things, you know. Everyone in this world is, you know, glorifying passion. But spiritual world is mentioned over here, Lokam Param Vi Rajaskam. There is no passion over there, right? So all the people who glorify passion, they have to be here only. Right? And then Vi Shokam. Vi is a negation over here. Vi means without, right? Vi Rajaskam. Free from all mundane passions. Vishokam, free from all material lamentations. Right? Actually, it's said that the study of the Bhagatam, recitation of Bhagatam, dries up the ocean of lamentation. In this world, everyone drowns in the ocean of lamentation. Right? This world is described as the ocean of lamentation. You know, you ask anyone, how are you doing? If he's really your close friend, you know, if he's honest, then he will reveal the ocean of lamentation. On the face, people say, yes, good, well, you know, whatever they may say on the face. But if they open up the heart, you know, a little bit more to a close friend, then
perfectly pacified, intelligent and ready to answer any question without hesitation. The great devotee, Maharaj Parikshit, approached him, offered his respects by bowing before him and politely inquired with sweet words and folded hands.
Right. So again, Maharaj Parikshit very humbly approaches him. First, he bows down to him. And Prabhupada says, the gesture now adopted by Maharaj Parikshit of questioning a master is quite befitting in terms of scriptural injunctions. Right? So if a person is asking a question, first should he say, please accept my obeisances, or he should bow down. You know, when a person asks a great soul, spiritual master a question, first you should bow down. It's mentioned over here. First one should pay respects. So now Maharaj Parikshit, he speaks the remaining verses of the chapter, 32 to 39. He submits himself to Maharaj Sukhdev Goswami, and the last verse will be spoken by Sut Goswami. It's the last section of the chapter.
Hovadhyavayam Brahman Satse सत्सेवया शत्रुबन्धवा कृपया अतिथिरूपेण भवद्भिस्तीर्थकाकृता.
The fortunate King Parikshit said, O Brahmana, by your mercy only you have sanctified us, making us like unto places of pilgrimage, all by your presence here as my guest. By your mercy, we who are but unworthy royalty became eligible to serve the devotee.
Right. So he again says that the same as here, glorify the sages, you all have come, my great fortune, I am unworthy, you usually stay far away. And it's the same thing. Or you usually purify, bhavad bhis tirtha kakrita, you can actually sanctify a holy place. So you have come here not for to bathe in Ganga, but actually for my. Okay, so. Sut Goswami is speaking that when Maharaj Parikshit, he heard this Rishi Gan Vacha, the words of these rishis, which had these four qualities, right? These are very beautiful qualities one should try to inculcate in one's speech. Samam, it was impartial. Right? It's not that because he's a king, so they are speaking, right? Or they wanted some favor from the king. No. Total impartial. Madhuchyud, very sweet. At the same time, Guru, very grave, because it was a grave subject matter. And cha avvelikam, they were no pretense. Sometimes, you know, we say something and they say, no, you don't have to stay till so long. We said, okay, fine. Now, then we are going. Sometimes you want to actually go away and say, you know, I can stay with you if you want. I said, no, fine. You know, we say so without pretense, sometimes we pretend to be a little sympathetic only to hear that he doesn't need us, and then we say, fine, that is good. So there are many times often there could be a pretense in our words, right? Some kind of offer of some help or something. We don't want to do it, but you know, just pretend outside. Kind of. Sometimes we say, chalo, main tumhare pair daba deta hun. Or bole, chalo, aadhe ghante dabao. To dabayenge nahi. Right? There is a pretense in it. We don't want to actually do it. It's not coming from the heart. It's lip service we want to offer sometimes. Sometimes we do that, you know. But here, the words of the sages, they are samam, madhuchud, guru, cha velikam, avvelikam or nirvelikam. These two words often come in Bhagavatam. Because devotional service should be without pretense. Right? This word you will study so many times. Avvelikam and nirvelikam. So there were no pretense in their words. Right? So therefore, Maharaj Parikshit was satisfied to hear them word, and he spoke to them. 23rd. Samagata sarvata eva sarve veda yata murti dharastri prishthe nehatana mutra chakashchanartha prite paranugrahamatma shilam.
The king said, O great sages, you have all very kindly assembled here. Having come from all parts of the universe, you are all as good as supreme knowledge personified, who resides in the planet above the three worlds, Satyaloka. Consequently, you are naturally inclined to do good to others, and but for this, you have no interest either in this life or in the next.
Okay, so Maharaj Parikshit again glorify the sages, or he expresses his gratitude. He says, you all are like Vedas personified. It's like some people in this world, they can talk about any subject matter. So they is walking, talking encyclopedia. You know, they can talk of any social subject matter, any political, any sports. You know, some people are like that, you know, walking, talking encyclopedias. But here, the sages are walking, talking Vedas. You know, they're not just general subject matter of this world. Right? So they are murti dhara, veda yatha murti dharastri prishthe. They could talk of any subject matter on the Veda. These sages were so learned. They were walking, talking Vedas in one sense. So they are saying, you all have come here. You have come here only for para anugraha. See, in this world, so many people are traveling. Right? So many people are, you know...
The unsuccessful yogi, after many, many years of enjoyment on the planet of the pious living entities, is born into a family of righteous people or into a family of rich aristocracy.
Right? So, Suchinam or Srimatam. Suchinam are the pious brahmanas and Srimatam are the prosperous, wealthy people. So even our birth in our respective families has something to do with what previous credits that we have acquired. Right? So Prabhupada writes it in the purport. Or something else can also happen. Athava yogi nameva kule bhavati dhimatam etad hi durlabhataram loke janmayat idrisham.
Or if unsuccessful after long practice of yoga, he takes his birth in the family of transcendentalists who are surely great in wisdom. Certainly such a birth is rare in this world.
Like that. Yeah. So, or if one can also take birth in the family of transcendentalists. So directly he is completely surrounded by an atmosphere of spiritual culture. So Prabhupada writes that how? Fortunately, both our spiritual master, Om Vishnupada Shri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. See, I mean, this is the etiquette, by the way. You can't just say, oh, my spiritual master. This is how, whenever you are addressing your spiritual master, this is the way you should address. And our humble self had the opportunity to take birth in such families by the grace of the Lord. And both of us were trained in devotional service of the Lord from the very beginning of our lives. Later on, we met by the order of the transcendental system. Like that. So then what happens?
Is after proper deliberation, tell me of the unalloyed duty of everyone in all circumstances and specifically to those who are just about to die.
Okay, so he asked them a question which has two parts in one sense. The same question. He said, I want to ask you, Imam Vipriche, what is that? Vishrabhya Vipra. He said, I trust you. You know, I trust your answer, whatever you say. Krityatayam sarva atmana. That is the first part of the question. Krityatayam, what is to be done by everyone? Under all circumstances. Krityatayam sarvatmana. Second part is mriyamanascha krityam. What is to be done by people in general under all circumstances? And what is to be done mriyamanascha krityam? What should be done by a person who is about to die? What is to be done means what is the most important thing to be done? Right? What is something you should not miss? Like people will say, oh, he should write the will. He should make sure that all he has a partnership in all the bank accounts, you know, and then he should disclose all his assets. Because some people die and they have invested in hundreds of places and they die and relatives do not know where all he invested. So there are many such duties in this world, you know, disclose all the assets, make partners, write your will, who will be inheriting, etc., etc. You know, how much the dog will get. You know, the West, the dog gets the maximum amount, you know, in the West country. So there are many duties people feel in this world, you know, for a dying person, right? So all this, but Parikshit Maharaj is actually asking the sages, you know, that what is something which is really should not be missed, right? To be done for a person who is about to die. So Prabhupada says, out of the two, the fourth line, the question relating to the dying man is most important because everyone is a dying man, either very shortly or after 100 years. Right? So therefore, in one sense, the question is one. Sarvatmana, what is to be done? Sarvatmana is also mriyamanas. Everyone is about to die. So therefore, in one sense, the question is one. What is the most important thing for a person to do? The duration of life is a material, but the duty of a dying man is very important. It's also very, very beautiful statement. The duration of the life is immaterial, but the duty of a dying man is very important. Maharaj Parikshit placed these two questions before Sukadeva Goswami also on his arrival. And practically the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning from the second canto up to the last 12th canto, deals with these two questions. You may say, kitni bar a question ka answer hai Bhagatam, ye question ka answer hai Bhagatam. There is harmony. Right? 25. Tatra bhavad bhagavan vyasa putro yadrichayagam
अटमानोनपेक्षा अलक्ष्यलिंगो निजलाभतुष्टो वितश्चबालैरवदूतवेश.
At that moment, there appeared the powerful son of Vyasadeva, who travelled over the earth, disinterested and satisfied with himself. He did not manifest any symptoms of belonging to any social order or status of life. He was surrounded with women and children, and he dressed as if others had neglected him.
Okay, so he said, who sent him, who called him? Yadrichaya, on his own, he was just... On his own he walked in. Now here Yadrichya also means Bhagavat Ichya, by the desire of Lord. Right? For the, just like people say, by chance. Right? For the by chance for the devotee means by Krishna's arrangement, by Krishna's will. That is the meaning of the Yadrichya, means by his own will, but actually means Bhagavat Ichya. Krishna wanted to reciprocate with Maharaj Parikshit. So he inspired Shukadeva Goswami to come toward this assembly. Anapeksha, he ignored everyone. Alakshalingam, he could not be recognized. There were no symptoms of any ashram. You know. Nijalabhatushto, he was satisfied with his own attainment. Nijalabhatushto. He was not even wearing kopin. You know, what keys, what money, what credit card he will keep. Nijalabhatushto. He was satisfied within the heart with the relationship with Krishna. Right? Actually, Prabhupada mentioned that. Actually, he mentioned that he was not even wearing kopin. He was... So what other assets or things he may be carrying for his tushta, right? So therefore, completely satisfied with the attainment of the soul, Nijalabhatushto. Therefore, these qualities are mentioned of Sukadeva Goswami, who walked in. Right? Prabhupada writes in the middle of the purport, as a young boy, he was expected to be properly dressed, but he went about naked and was uninterested in social customs. He was neglected by general populace, and inquisitive boys and women surrounded him as if he were a madman. So the children and women, you know, they were running behind him. Maybe someone was throwing stone or something, you know, just like he outwardly looked like a madman.
Atmana partha yogam yunyan madashraya asamshayam samagramma yathagyasa sitashrunu. So Krishna here is focusing about the tashrunu, hear. Here, hearing is the best process, that if you want to, you know about the Krishna, the best process is tashrunu, hear about me, like that. So Krishna is focusing on the hearing, maya sakta manapartha. So by practicing yoga in full conscious of me, mind attached to the me, and you know, there is no doubt, that without fear, without you know any doubt, you can know me in full, like that. So Krishna is saying in that. So best is hearing. So Prabhupada in a purport, Prabhupada is commenting about the hearing means hearing about Krishna, Krishna's position, and hearing from the, hearing in authorized, you know, in the disciplic succession, like that. And he explained about the understanding of the hearing, from as we studied in the Bhagavatam, that Shravatam, Savakata, Krishna, all the five verses, that what is the hearing, understanding of hearing, what is the effect of hearing, that everything is explained in the purport of that. And then in the second shloka, that these first three shlokas are commenting about the specifically about the hearing, 7.1 to the 7.3. So 7.2, it is again explained that hearing is, again, it includes again the knowledge about Krishna's energies, like material and spiritual existence of Krishna. So that is again, so the knowledge means we have to know that the matter, spirit and the source of the both, that Prabhupada writes in the purport. So that is given in the 7.2. That knowledge is very important. And then one by one knowledge Krishna is explaining about, you know, the 7.3. Again, in 7.3 is speaking that although this knowledge, again 7.2, this know that Krishna is a source of everything, he said. And this knowledge is very rare. Manushyanam sahasreshu kachchit yadati siddhe. And out of millions of people, that very rare to get such,
was by his knowledge more experienced than all the sages present there, although he was only 16 years old. Niguda jatrum prithutunga vakshasam avrittanabhim valivalgudaram cha digambaram vakatra vikirnakesham pralamba bahum samaruttamambham.
His collarbone was fleshy, his chest broad and thick, his navel deep and his abdomen beautifully striped, his arms were long and curly hair was striven over his beautiful face, he was naked and the hue of his body reflected that of Lord Krishna.
Right, so all these Prabhu says physiognomical symptoms are there. Right? The physical symptom basically, there is a physiognomy that seeing the person's physical form, then his character, his mentality can be ascertained. Right? They are, everything is related in this world. So seeing the physical form, the physical symptoms are given, which also indicate that he was a great personality, these physical symptoms. Yes. The children and women are less intelligent. They could not recognize. The sages could recognize. The children are not supposed to recognize the Mahapurusha. You know? These are the symptoms in the scriptures. So the sages, therefore, they immediately recognize there is a great personality. Shyamam sadapi vyavayanga lakshmya Srinam manogyam ruchira smitena Pratyutthitaste munayashusenbhyas tallakshanagyapi gudavarchasam.
He was blackish and very beautiful due to his youth. Because of the glamour of his body and his attractive smiles, he was pleasing to women. Though he tried to cover his natural glories, the great sages present there were all expert in the art of physiognomy, and so they honored him by rising from their seats.
And so now it's also mentioned he was very attractive to women, because he was very beautiful, his form. So the great sages who could see, understand the symptoms, the children and women couldn't recognize, but the great sages who are lakshanagya, api gur varchasham, they could recognize his covered glories. Right? Gur varchasham is covered glories. So by seeing him, they all recognize here is a great personality, and they honored him by rising from their seats. All these great sages, right? And Vishwanath Thakur says that except Vyasadev, Narad Muni and few very senior sages, everyone rose from their seat to welcome Shukadev Goswami. Right? So one thing, sometime a question may come, there were great sages there, Vyasadev is there, Narad Muni is there, Narad Muni himself has, resolved so many contradictions and preached to so many people. Why could none of them actually resolve and bring consensus and, guide Maharaj Parikshit? Suddenly a 16-year-old boy, has appeared and he is given the highest seat of honor. How come those great sages, they could not? Yes, actually, it is will of Krishna that Shukadev Goswami speaks Bhagatam. And it is empowerment. Now Krishna's empowerment is on Shukadev Goswami. So you know, Arjuna, that's the important thing over here. So Krishna has empowered a certain personality. Everyone respects his, that Krishna wants to. So therefore they were looking for Shukadev Goswami also, who will come and speak Bhagatam. Right? So therefore, that is the important thing. Text 29. Savishnurato Titha Savishnurato Atitya Agataya Tasmay Saparyam Shirasajahara Tato Nivritta Hiyabudastri Arbhaka Mahasane Sopa Vishesha Pujita Sopa Vishesha Pujita.
Maharaj Parikshit, who is also known as Vishnurata, one who is always protected by Vishnu, bowed his head to receive the chief guest, Shukadev Goswami. At that time, all the ignorant women and boys ceased following Srila Shukadev. Receiving respect from all, Shukadev Goswami took his exalted seat.
Right, so he said, he's the chief guest now. You know, as I said, all the big sages are there, and when all they got up, you know, the women and children were surprised. This young lad walking and this sage with a great beard, they got up in respect. They went away from back only. So we couldn't recognize only, you know. They were just having some kind of fun time over there. So they understood the gravity, you know, or the position of Shukadev Goswami, and they went back. And Maharaj Parikshit also immediately recognized by Krishna's inspiration. Right? There was no like voting who should be the chief guest, who should be the speaker. Just Shukadev Goswami came and Maharaj Parikshit recognized, all the speakers recognized that here is a person sent by Krishna to speak. Here is the most empowered person at this point of time. He will be the speaker. Right? And Shukadev Goswami spoke, and Maharaj Parikshit also immediately honored him as the chief guest and gave him the, you know, the seat, the highest position to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So there was no, immediately everyone could understand and recognize. So that is also the beauty of the situation over herein. Right? All of them were also fine-tuned with Krishna's desire and will. So Shukadev Goswami immediately came and he was offered the most exalted seat. Prabhupada says he was offered the presidential seat at the meeting. In the fourth last line, if you see. He was offered the presidential seat at the meeting. Text 30. Sa samvritastatra mahan mahiyasam Brahmarishi Rajarishi Devarishi Sanghe Verochatalam Bhagavan Yathindur Graharkshatara Nikare Parita.
Shukadev Goswami was then surrounded by saintly sages and demigods, just as the moon is surrounded by stars, planets, and other heavenly bodies. His presence was gorgeous and he was respected by all.
Okay, so he looked like a moon amongst the stars. That's Shukadev Goswami. So Prabhupada says, Shukadev Goswami was not known as Brahma Rishi, Raj Rishi or Dev Rishi. Right? Nor was he an incarnation like Narada, Vyasa or Parashuram. And yet he excelled them in respects paid. He excelled them. This means that the devotee of the Lord is more honored in the world than the Lord himself. Right? He's not having any position, high position, but he's a devotee of the Lord. And now Krishna wants to make that devotee shine. Right? So understand that point. So therefore, a devotee doesn't need any external, you know, designations or position. So here, he's a devotee of the Lord and Krishna's desire is for him to shine forth. Therefore, he outshined everyone, including Narada Muni, Vyasadeva, right? Just imagine the people who were there. Parashuram, Vashishta Muni, Angira, so they all great, many of them great souls were there. So therefore Prabhupada says, one should therefore never minimize the importance of a devotee like Shukadev Goswami. You never know which devotee Krishna will empower at what point of time. Right? Therefore, every devotee should be respected as highly, in high regard. 31. Prashantamasi namakuntamedasam munim nipo bhagavato bhupitya pranamya murdhna vahita kritanjalir natva girashu nritayan prichat.
The sage Shri Shukadev Goswami said
crowns, clubs, discs, etc. And then he mentioned that ki, this form is worshipable because it's a supreme primal object, inexhaustible, and Supreme Lord is the maintainer of every of eternal religion. So thus he says ki, in my opinion, you are the supreme personality of Godhead. And after that, so 19 verse to 30 onward, this section actually, before this, Arjuna is seeing the universal form. Now in the universal form, phases are changes, because as Lord mentioned that ki, whatever you desire, you can see. So now these phases are changes from universal form to the Kal Swarup. So in 19 verse, it's mentioned that he is seeing the, that Lord has this sun and moon are like the eyes of the Lord. And then he sees that Kal Swarup in the form that ki, fire is coming from out of the mouth of the universal form. And then in verse number 20, it's mentioned that this form is spread all over the world, in the whole universe, and in between the space also. And 21st verse is about that, seeing this form, even the host of the demigods, host of the sages, all become afraid, and they start praying to the Lord. And then after that, it's mentioned that ki, all the demigods, they start praying. That is 22nd verse. So different demigods are mentioned, different category of peoples are mentioned. So actually this thing is clear that Prabhupada mentioned in one of the purport that this universal form is not dream. It's actually practically he is seeing this form. The evidence is that ki, once he is given the divine vision, with that divine vision he is able to see. And that divine vision who can have? Who are the demigods or basically devotees of the Lord? So the demigods or the higher people in the higher planes, they have the divine vision and they are also able to witness the
benefit. Right? So a similar verse decides. Yesham samsmaranatpum sam sadhya shuddhyanti vaigriha kimpunar darshana sparsha pada saucasanadibhi.
Simply by our remembering you, our horses become instantly sanctified. And what to speak of seeing you, touching you, washing your holy feet, and offering you a seat in our home.
Right, so the another beautiful verse. He said, just by remembrance, yesham sam smaranat pum sam sadhya shudyanti vaigriha. Just by your remembrance, that means, just by a remote contact with you, just by a remote contact with pure souls, one can be purified. Kim punar, then what to speak of close contact? What to speak of seeing you? Touching you, further close contact. Pada swach, washing your feet. Right? So what to speak of closer or what to speak of intimate contact? If a remote contact can purify, then what to speak of closer intimate contacts? Therefore, this verse is very beautiful. Sannidhyate mahayogin patakani mahantyapi sadyo nashyanti vaipumsam vishnur eva suretara.
Just as the atheist cannot remain in the presence of the personality of Godhead, so also the invulnerable sins of a man are immediately vanquished in your presence, O saint, O great mystique.
Right, so he's saying, just like atheist cannot remain in the presence of personality of Godhead. Right? They're opposite. Just like a if the sun, the darkness cannot remain in the presence of the sun. Darkness cannot remain in the presence. Darkness is vanquished. Similarly, atheist cannot remain in the presence of the Supreme Lord. They'll be vanquished. Either their atheism will be vanquished or they themselves will physically be vanquished. Right? So either way, the atheist cannot be in the presence of the Supreme Lord. Darkness cannot be in the presence of the sun. Prabhupada says, the ghost cannot be in presence of the devotees. You know, who chant the holy name. All the ghostly beings immediately vanquish. Right? Similarly, the sins cannot remain in the presence of a pure personality like you. Patakani means that which is called patan. The sins are also known as patakas. Patakas means that which is called the patan of a person. Right? The sins are known as patakani mahante. Mahante means great sin. In your closeness, right, sannidhyate mahayogin, wherever you are, even the greatest of the sins cannot remain. They are vanquished immediately. Like that. So Parikshit Maharaj glorifies the presence of Shukadev Goswami. 35. Api me Bhagavan Prita Krishna Pandu Sutta Priyaha Petra Sosya Prityartham Tad Gutrasyada Bandhava.
Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is very dear to the sons of King Pandu, has accepted me as one of those relatives just to please his great cousins and brothers.
Okay, so he is saying actually, your coming here is the mercy of Krishna, not directly upon me, but because I am connected with his great devotees. Therefore, he has accepted me also. Right? So actually, a devotee should always aspire. Or he should aspire his connection with those who are dear to Krishna, right? So when Maharaj Pratap Rudra was affectionate to Ramananda Raya, and Ramananda said, "My Lord, he has shown me such great favor." Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said the same siddhant. Lord said, "Prabhu ka hetu me Krishna bhakt pradhan, tuma ke ye priti kare sehi bhagyavan." Said, you are a foremost devotee of Krishna. Anyone who has affection for you, he also becomes fortunate. Right? So anyone who has affection for a devotee of the Lord, he also becomes fortunate. Right? Because he has affection for you, Krishna will be merciful to you. Right? So in this way, he's saying, because I'm connected. Right? So therefore, if we have affection, attitude of service towards those who are dear to Krishna, Krishna becomes naturally inclined to show mercy to us also. Right? So therefore, actually it's a, you know, devotee should aspire. It's our great fortune that we are connected with Prabhupada, who is very dear to Lord. We are connected with this parampara. We should continue to remain connected. You know, there should be always a living connection. Those who are serving Prabhupada closely, his servants, right? Those who are dedicated. We should try to have a close connection with them through service. Right? In this way, Krishna values that connection very much, as Maharaj Parikshit is saying over here. Therefore, Krishna has bestowed this mercy because I am connected to his devotees. Right? Text 36. Prabhupada says in the 6th, 7th line of the purport, the Lord gives special protection to the family members and descendants of a devotee, even though such members are themselves non-devotees. Gaura Swam Bhakta Vashya.
The desires and, you know, the attachment and hatred. Root cause of this material existence itself. So Lord says that the pure knowledge, the real constitutional position is the Lord, and everyone is subordinate to the Lord in that sense. And then who can come out from this? So this dualities are there, and desires are there, and hatreds are there. So who can come out? So he is giving the qualification in the next verse 28 that those who have crossed, a lot of pious deeds they have done, their impious activities is almost finished. So those kind of people can understand the Lord. So these are the qualifications that devotees would be. Yesham antagatam papam. And then what they'll do? They'll bhajate mam dridavrata. So they will, with the determination, they will be practicing devotional service. So these kind of people will are the devotees. So now in the 29, he says that intelligence is taken by the takes the refuge of devotion. So what is that? So those who take the refuge in the devotion and to the Krishna, they will be able to overcome. And actually in this particular verse, mixed intentions, even Sakam Karma Yogi's intentions are also involved in this. So Prabhupada in the purport is also mentioning that that devotee who is crossing, he has been equated to Brahman, that he is the Brahman. So what is Brahman? That he would be equal in the qualities of the Brahman. So pure devotees, those who have crossed that, are equal in the Brahman. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport that Aham Brahmasmi is actually I am the soul. And this Brahman conception of life, they are at the platform of the Brahman. And then in the next verse, 30th verse, Lord says...
He said Amogha was delivered by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because Lord was under the control of the love of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, right, sir? Amogha was a criticizer, what to speak of a devotee, he was a blasphemer, right? But the Lord showed Amogha mercy and gave him his own love, right? Because Gaura Swam Bhakta Vashyatam, he's controlled by the love of his devotees. Yeah, someone government employee is there, then his family members get the also benefit. Annathate vyaktagater darshanam nakatham ninam itaram riyamananam samsiddhasya vaniyasa.
Yes, sir. Otherwise, without being inspired by Lord Krishna, how is it that you have voluntarily appeared here, though you are moving incognito to the common man and are not visible to us who are on the verge of death?
Right? Otherwise, how is it possible? Therefore, he is now saying that only Krishna has inspired you. Yadrichya, as we discussed, Maharaj Parikshit is confirming, it was Krishna Ichchaya or Bhagavad Ichchaya. The great sage Sukadev Goswami was certainly inspired by Lord Krishna to appear voluntarily before Maharaj Parikshit, the great devotee of the Lord, just to give him the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. 37. Atha prichhami samsiddhim yoginam paramam gurum purushasteha yatkaryam mriyamanasya sarvatha.
You are the spiritual master of great saints and devotees. I am therefore begging you to show the way of perfection for all persons and especially for one who is about to die.
Atha prichhami samsiddhim. Please tell me what is the complete perfection. And purushasya iha yat karyam mriyamanasya sarvatha. And what should a person, specifically a dying person, do to achieve that perfection? Right? So the same question basically, which had asked the sages. So Prabhupada says in the second line of the purport, a spiritual master is not a kind of decoration for a householder. Generally, a fashionable materialist is engaging a so-called spiritual master without any profit. Right? So just like there are people who are in very elite kind of people, they have in their drawing room a sofa set, TV set, various kind of different sets, decorative sets. So they feel, our drawing room is not complete without having a photo of Guru also, So their drawing room should be complete with the photo of Guru, We should not miss upon anything. So it's the status quo, we have Guru also. So Prabhupada is pointing out of that, so they put they make Guru into a decorative piece for their drawing room, So therefore, Prabhupada said, that should not be for Guru. Guru is meant for this these inquiries, at prichami samsiddhim, how can I attain the perfection of life, especially at the time when a person is going to die? Text 38. Yashrotavyam matho japyam yat kartavyam nirbhi prabho smartavyam bhajaniyam va bruhiyadva viparrayam nunam bhagavato brahman griheshu grahamedinam nalakshatehi avasthanam api godohanam kuchet.
Please let me know what a man should hear, chant, remember and worship, and also what he should not do. Please explain all this to me. O powerful Brahmana, it is said that you hardly stay in the houses of men long enough to milk a cow.
So Maharaj Parikshit immediately inquires from him, please tell me what is to be heard, chanted, remembered. He doesn't say, okay, no, you have come now, take rest. How are you doing? You know, etc. He said, I cannot assume that you will be staying here for long. I don't want to waste time. You stay for a very short time. You have come here. I don't know when you will leave. I don't want to waste time in social inquiries. Come directly to the point. You know, he said, tell me what should I hear? You know, it's the situation of emergency. So Maharaj Parikshit, without wasting any time in, you know, social formalities, directly come to the point. Yashrotavyam, atho japyam, what should I, what is my duty, what should I hear, what should I chant? Actually, he has expressed his desire to hear about Krishna, dashatavalam gayatha vishnu gatha, even before inquiring from the sages. Right? But still, as a humble Vaishnava, he wants the confirmation that his determination is right. Right? So therefore, he is inquiring humbly, Yashrotavyam, or he's saying, please tell me what should I hear? That means you should narrate to me that which I ought to hear. Right? So he's requesting him to speak also, whatever he should hear from him. Text 40. Evamabhashita prishta saragya slakshanaya girya pratyabhashat dharmagyo bhagavan badarayani.
Shisuta Goswami said, the king thus spoke and questioned the sage using sweet language. Then the great and powerful personality, the son of Vyasadev, who knew the principles of religion, began.
In sacrifices we lead him to heavenly planets, and how he slowly again by exhausting those pious activities he comes to the earth through rains, then through grains, then finally enters into male, then female, then finally again he comes to this earth. Then where does he reside? Then that is, it is in the heart. Here Prabhuji asked us a question. Where does so Paramatma is, so here Prabhupada mentions in the purport that so Paramatma is beside the soul, beside the individual soul. No, it is beside the soul, and he is sanctioning and he is overseeing him and he is trying to give everything. It is there in this. Then finally, then question comes, how to remember Krishna at the time of death? So why Arjuna asked this question? Because this question is not asked, this term is not being mentioned in the last two verses of 7th chapter. So we get it from 2.72 and 7.30. So where Krishna says that, in 2.72, that Sitapragna qualities. So if he is intimately situated in that one, in that person, he can remember him at time of death. And at the same time, at 7.30, who is in full conscious of me, who knows me as generate, as active principle and all. So he can also remember me at the time of death. So Arjuna thinks there is something important at the time of death, so to remember Krishna. So he asked this question. So these are the questions. Next section is from 8.5 to 8.8. So which says that remembering of Krishna at the time of death. So here first from 8.5 and 8.6 gives us the what should be the consciousness at the time of death that will decide our destiny. So 8.5 says that that is antakale cha mameva. So whoever dies at remembering Krishna, so he will attain my nature surely, without doubt. And at 8.6, and whoever remembers, whatever he remembers at the time of death, so he attains that nature. Then comes the, then there is a link here to 8.7. Because it's
reply.
Okay, so Shri Shuka Uvacha began with 2.1. First canto, there is no Shri Shuka Uvacha. Right? So the verse, first or second canto is Shri Shuka Uvacha. Right? He begins to reply. And what is his first reply? He congratulates Varyana Eshate Prashna. Right? So you will study that in your tomorrow or probably next class. Tomorrow you may not have a class, I guess. You have to prepare for the final exam. So in this way we have completed the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam by the mercy of Prabhupada, by the mercy of Prabhupada's dedicated devotees. Right? We have been fortunate to complete the first canto. Jai Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Oh yes, questions. First question. Okay, so write from Prabhupada purpose also. Remember that. Don't just write the translation from Bhaga Subodhini. 10 marks. Second question, 15 marks. Fourth question, 15 marks. And sixth question, write two examples of Parikshit Maharaj humility, 10 marks. Okay, so four questions. Hare Krishna.
Earlier you mentioned the miserable and temporary. So what is the biggest miseries of this material world? That's four. Birth, old age, disease and death. Constant creation and annihilation. Here, bhutya praliyate. This is everyone suffering in this material world, but the biggest problem is thus four things. So 8.17 to 8.19, duration of material universe is limited. How duration of material world, universe is limited? So we know that our sub-creator of this material world is Brahmaji. So his life span is 100 years. So according to our life span, Brahma will live 100 years. So his one day means Satya, Treta, Dapar, Kali, circle 1,000 times. By this way, his night also. This way he will live 100 years, and then creation, destruction, by this way it will be continuing, creation, destruction. So you know already the, how and what is the duration of Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dapar Yuga, Kali Yuga. We are living in Kali Yuga. The Kali Yuga's duration is 4,32,000 years. So here Srila Prabhupada given beautiful analogies. The Brahma's lifetime as compared to eternity is like lighting flash. And another analogy.
Attracted to the yogic principles, even without seeking them, such an inquisitive transcendentalist stands always above the ritualistic principles of the scriptures.
Like that. So, By the virtue of his, so apurva abhyasa, from his previous practice, what happens? He automatically becomes attracted. So such people, they take up to Krishna consciousness just like that. Sometimes, I mean, even in our own lives, there's so many people who sat in the class for your one-time program. Why only you got attracted? Where are all those other people? At least 100 people might have attended. Only 4 or 5 finally end up taking up Krishna consciousness seriously. Why is that? So that is the fact, like that. Then, prayatnadyatamanastu. Yogi samshuddha kilbishaha aneka janma samsiddhas tato yati paramgatim.
And when the yogi engages himself with sincere endeavor in making further progress, being washed of all contamination, then ultimately achieving perfection after many, many births of practice, he attains the supreme goal.
Like that. So finally then he attains the supreme goal. So basically this whole last 4 verses we saw basically is explanation of Nehabhikramana Ashwasti. Just explained in this particular relevance here. Then, now this last 2 verses. So text number 46 is the most favorite verses for all practitioners of yoga. The asanas yoga, ashtanga yoga, whoever preaches, this is their mahamantra. Tapasvibho adhiko yogi jnani bhyo apimato adhikah karmibhyascha adhiko yogi tasmad yogi bhavarjuna.
Right? So like that. So it's not that anyone's mistake can be termed as will of the Lord. What is the past? That person, is he used to that? No, never did that. What is future? He's very repentant. The present and the future, it's led to such a great result. You know, the whole Bhagatam is coming. Right? So someone said, hey, Bhagatam came because Maharaj, because Sringi curse. No. Bhagatam came because Maharaj Parikshit responded to that curse by taking shelter of Sukhdev Goswami. By Maharaj Parikshit's response, not by the curse. You can't indirectly relate Sringi's curse to the appearance of Bhagatam. It was Maharaj Parikshit surrendered to Sukhdev Goswami and decided to fast and sat down. That leads to advent of Bhagatam. So therefore, there is a difference. Right? One cannot equate the two. Right? So that is very clear in the purpose. Jai Granthra Srimad Bhagatam ki jai Srila Parikshit Maharaj ki jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai Nitai Gaur Premanande. Oh, the questions have to be given.
Knowledge, because bhakti is bhakti is simple but not easy to get it, because envy, because Prabhuji said in class that the envy and doubt, they are the most the main obstacle for progress in the devotional service, like that. So like that, those three, 1 to 3 are over about the hearing, and then 7.4 he is speaking about the knowledge about again this material existence. So and Krishna is saying here that there are two energies, like separated energy, that Krishna is saying about the material energy, that separated energy, one is separated and one is superior energy. Separated energy is constituted of the 8 elements, 5 gross and 3 subtle elements, and they are again expanded into the 24 elements, like that. five gross and sense, and then ten senses, and then unmanifested moods, and five gross object, gross sense object. So like that. So among the 24 element, and then he was saying the basis of this, again it is saying that Bhumi Rapo Nalo Vayu Kam Mono Buddhiri Vacha. Like that. He has started saying from the now 7 point, 4 to 12. He has given about everything about the material, energy. And 7.4, just given the introduction of the material energy, and then 7.5, he is discussing about the living entity is a superior energy, and they have, they have exploited the resources of the material nature or inferior nature, like that. And the Prabhupada commented on the purport that how, a living entity is not equal to the Lord, right? So he says that, commented that energy given the energy and energetic. So Jiva is under the energy and energetic controls the energy. So like that. Also, and another way is Jiva is under the, Jiva is conditional. Like they are affected by the matters where Krishna is not. So that way, that is the difference.
Krishna consciousness, he not doesn't require to take any time path of annihilated, for whom? The path of annihilated devotee. And what is his destination? Krishna Loka. And then 23, 27 and 28 very elaborately explained. So I'm actually taking solution, a final